This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If you feel like dying, if you feel like crying, if you feel like giving up, if you feel all the world is against you, do you really think that if you give up on knowledge, that you will find your energy? The only thing that will keep your back straight in the midst of despair, even when you feel that despair is literally overwhelming you, it is knowledge. It's the only thing. That's your escape route. And this is why talabul ilm for me, it is that little straw that you breathe through. Now I'm in a world where there is no air. There is no oxygen in this world anymore. There is no oxygen. People are out of their minds. The majority of people are poison to your heart. People are not able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. The majority of Muslims, they hear the call, but they cannot answer the call. And Allah says, istajibu, answer the call of Allah and His Prophet when they call you to that what gives you life. If you're not occupied with the deen, how sure can you be of your emotions? How sure can you be of your impressions? How sure can you be? Because if that heart is not clean, your mind will be distorted. The only way to find out whether you are right or wrong is by diving into the purest of your being. And that is your soul. We live in a world once more. There is no oxygen here. We are all dying. We are spiritually dying. But then when you go to the deen, you go to the Quran, you go to the sunnah, that is where you will be revived. Sometimes I'm very tired. It is all you're all my psychologists. I will lay down here. So sometimes you feel very tired. And then your wife, rightly so, says, don't you think you should stop? Or your daughter says, don't you think you should stop? Or your son. And of course, because they care for you. But the problem is that the deen is not a bedtime story. It is either to hell or either to paradise. If you have a passion for teaching to save people from hell, even if you yourself, you have to work on yourself, you cannot stop. Prophets didn't stop and teachers will not stop. They don't. Because they believe in what they do. It is not to play a game. It is not just to come and say, oh, I'm going to make some money. I'm going to do this or that. It's just about saving yourself and people from hell. In this world, you are either a receiver or a sender. Look, Habibi, I really want you to look now. Everybody, my family, you, everybody. What are you receiving? What do you choose to receive in your life? What is your source of information? What is your source that you are taking your life from? For the majority of people, it's Instagram, it's YouTube, it's Facebook. When is the last time you looked for yourself? When is the last time you told yourself, like if now there's no water coming down the drain, then probably I will go to a plumber. You haven't cried for years and you don't go to see somebody to take care of your heart. What is wrong? When I became a Muslim, I didn't understand, I couldn't fathom why people didn't know the names of Allah. And I've been saying this for 20 years and still people did not memorize the names of Allah. 20 years. What's wrong with you? Wallahi, what's wrong? It looks like you hear the truth, but you don't want to save your skin from hell. Start taking your deen seriously. It's not about knowing, it's about doing. It's not about feeling, it's about experiencing. It is about becoming one with your religion. And yes, we all make mistakes. Teachers make mistakes. Sheikhs make mistakes. Husbands make mistakes. Wives make mistakes. Parents, children. But it is not about falling. It is about finding that courage to tell yourself, if I don't get up after the fall, I will end up in hell. There is no choice. It's Jannah or not. It looks like we're all playing around, fooling ourselves. Forgetting about death, while death is calling us at every single second. So start to change what you receive from in this life. Wallahi, if it were not for books in my life, I would have gone mad because of the fitan of the dunya. The only thing that keeps your back straight, that keeps you strong and keeps you going and glowing and growing, the only thing is deen. So either you send, either you receive. Look at yourself now. Now, what are you receiving? Maybe that's why maybe some are hard-hearted. That's why maybe some people cannot cry, why some people cannot wake up during the night to pray. This is maybe why you don't enjoy reading the Quran or can't memorize the Quran. There is something wrong. So now what do we have to do? We come to talab al-ilm. What is a talib al-ilm? A talib al-ilm is a person who is in a state of panic because he fears that he will die with sins that he is not aware of. Do you want to die the way you are now? I don't. I have many things to rectify. Many. The only one who didn't have to rectify a thing was the Prophet ﷺ. And all shaykhs that come and sit down and say, I'm talking about you and you have to do this, you have to do that, are liars. We have to do. And some among you have traits that I would love to have. And maybe I will have traits that you like to have. And like this we complete one another. But we are all servants to Quran and Sunnah. Sometimes when I teach, I would like literally, symbolically, sit down on the floor and have a chair here where I would say the only one who's allowed to sit on a chair in front of people and stand in front of them and talk in front of them is Rasuli Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that would look strange. But this is what it feels like. So this is why, barakallahu feekum, talib al-ilm, it's not about knowing, it's about doing. It's about becoming. It's about telling that if you die today, will you be happy with the way you are, yes or no? Will you be happy? Are you ready to die? You know, somebody who's pure, like Imam al-Ghazali says, longs to die. He says he's in a valley of love, waiting to be called by the one who he loves. The valley of love, he calls it. He says, when a person is so pure, do you know when you found Allah? It is when you are no longer moved by creation. And how difficult is that? How difficult is that? I would love to experience that. And that's why, before I leave, take that with you. My key ingredients, take them with you. Bi-ithnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. The first thing is, try to lead your life for Allah and not for the people, otherwise you will regret what you do. I see when I do things for Allah, it makes me happy. When I do something and my nafs is involved, I see that I regret it. I may talk about it. Because that state of ikhlas, yet it makes you strong. And the absence of ikhlas makes you sad and weak. Know that you were born alone, you will die alone. You will be in your grave alone. You will stand in front of Allah alone. It is not you as a mother or a father, not you as a sister or a parent or a brother or a mother. It is you alone. And all the people around you, it is your task in your life to make all of them happy. All the people that you have in your life, you should be the center of their happiness. You should be the beacon of their light. And you should be the most forgiving, the most inspiring, the most loving, the most patient, the most enduring, the most encouraging. That is who everybody should be. And even if others don't do it, you still have to do it. And that's where shaitan comes into the vein. That is where he comes into the brain. That is where he wants you to give up on this game. And he says, you, when you do this, you end up in shame because people will be blind. The better you become, and I'm not talking about myself in any way, the better you become, the less the people will see it. Look at the Prophet ﷺ. Everybody saw it in his life, but that was the Prophet ﷺ. But in this life, you have to know that if you want to be good, like Imam al-Ghazali said, the higher you climb, the fewer the participants. The higher you climb, the fewer the people will be that partake on this journey. He said, because, and I say why, because when I gave the example, when you climb the Mount Everest, remember you climb the first 1,000 meters, everybody's a hero. Let's go and walk and sing and applaud, yeah. Then you go 2,000 meters. Hey bro, what's happening to you? Then you go 3,000, 4, 5, 6. You start losing fingers. But those people are ready to lose their fingers. Say, if I lose a finger, I lose a foot, I don't care. Because I'm going to the highest place on earth. The people who want to go to the highest possible destination, the climax of existence, which is the Garden of Eden right beneath the throne, they're ready to lose everything for Allah. Everything for Allah. It is as long as I keep on going, even if people don't like me or would not love me because of it, even if people would give up because of it on me, or even if I were to lose my children, my wife, my husband, my car, my job, I will keep on going, even if I have to crawl. Because if I lose out on this opportunity, I have lost out on an eternity of grace, on an eternity of beauty. Every second that you do not use in this life, you will regret it, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Wallahi, you will regret it. Every second that you didn't use to prepare yourself. And how do you feel if you're in a moment where you wouldn't like death to come to you? What will you do? Live a life that, yani, that whenever death would come to you at that particular moment, that you would say, I wouldn't mind dying like this. I wouldn't mind dying now. If you live a life like that, then you will not regret it. But it's a fight. It's an ongoing fight with the self, not with the people. And the moment we're ready to shut ourselves off from people and expectations from people and social pressure from people and wanting to be a people pleaser, no matter whether it's your husband or your child, you do it for the sake of Allah, then you will be free from the shackles of ego. But it's not easy. It's the most difficult task because it goes against everything we stand for. We want to be praised. We want to be loved. We want to be cherished. We want to be acknowledged. But you have that one person that was Rasulullah. When I look at him, if you were not to know that he was Muhammad, you would think he was the servant of all the Arabs. Feeding them, giving them to drink, roaming down the streets at night looking for people who are hungry, building the mosque with his own bare hands, defending, yani, like in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, that whenever, yani, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in war, كُنَّا نَسْتَتِرُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَنَتَّقِي بِهِ. We would use him as a shield. He would stand there as a hero. The people behind him, he said, إِلَّا, apart from the shuja'an minna, those who were really courageous. And one of them was that lady Nusayda. When the Prophet ﷺ said, I look at the left, I saw her there. Looked at the right, I saw her there. Looked behind me, she was everywhere. Everywhere I looked, there she was. That is when she had more than 11 cuts, sword cuts in her arms. One was so deep that it took a year and a half to cure and to heal. Her hand was cut off. They put it in burning oil. She didn't scream. Burning oil. Shh. She said, I didn't know what felt worse, the chopping of the hand or the submerging it into this oil. So if you look at it, if you want Allah, be ready to lose everything. That it's just reality. You want to get to Allah, be ready to lose everything. And that's why Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadi'i, rahimahullahu tabarak wa ta'ala, mentioned, like Ibn Ajib, rahimahullahu tabarak wa ta'ala, mentioned in Iqadul Himam, he said, at the very beginning, when you worship Allah, you're a cherry picker. Now you decide how to worship Allah. I'm going to do a bit of prayer. I'm going to do a bit of Quran. And you choose. On your terms, you get to Allah. On your terms, He's the King. One day you will understand He's the King. So now what the problem is, the more you worship Him, the purer you will become. The more your soul will shine, the more your heart will beat for Allah. And then all of a sudden you are that glittering star on the face of the earth. And Allah says, I want that one. This is the one I want. This is the one I want. Because now you're worthy of being that trophy of the Almighty. Jalla wa ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah tells the angels, disturb everything in his or her life that he or she likes, so that he or she remains with nothing but me. And then you lose everything. Your honor, maybe your health, your honor, your health, your wealth, your family, your money, everything. You may end up losing everything because you were the one that said you wanted to be alone with Allah. You were the one that claimed when Allah and His angels were listening to you, Allah suffices for me. Do you know what you're saying when you say this? Allah is sufficient for me. Go ahead. Lose everything now and smile. So when you become that person, now Allah will let you worship Him on His terms. He says, you want me? Gone with your list of, I only want to see Allah as the provider. I only want to see Allah as the giver. I only want to see Allah as the protector. I only want to see Allah as the embracer, as the cherisher, whatever it may be. So you have a list of names you want in your life, and the other names, you kick them out of your life. Whenever a trial comes to your life, you kick it out, forgetting that the one that put that trial in your life was Allah.